this in church a couple weeks ago. So, Tony, have at it.
Yeah, this message was supposed to be delivered 2 weeks ago, but we had ice. So this week I'm scheduled to give the message, and we have snow and wind. So maybe they'll quit asking me to do this. I don't know. I rather doubt it, but and it does say Jim Lanier on the deal. I guess I can't say neither one of us are better looking at the other one, but I definitely have a lot less hair than he does. So today we're going to, well, a couple weeks ago, actually it's been 3 or 4 weeks ago now, that Jim started giving the message on 1 Timothy, and he went through the first verse. Today we're going to be visiting the second verse in 1 Timothy. Now this deals with the instruction for the church that Paul gave to Timothy while Timothy was serving in Ephesus. Timothy was one of Paul's closest companions. Paul had sent him to the church to encounter false teachings and grumblings that had arisen there. Paul advised Timothy on such practical topics as qualifications for church leaders, public worship, confronting of false teachings, and how to treat various groups of people within the church. Now, we kind of have to remember that, Paul was the type of a person that he just kind of told it like it was. He did it lovingly, but he called a spade a spade. Well, Timothy, on the other hand, Timothy was a little shy and reserved, and Paul kind of thought he needed to prod him just a little more to be a little more outgoing towards the people. Right belief and right behavior are critical for everyone who desires to lead or serve effectively in the church. We should all be rightly participate in church activity and minister to one another lovingly. You know, and that's just what I like about Paul. He was just very direct and wasn't scared to confront people, but he always did it with love. To start with, we'll look at verses 1 through 4. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Although God is all-powerful and knowing, He has chosen to let us help Him change the world through our prayers. And how this works, as of being a man, we have limited understanding. But the fact is, prayer works, and it is a reality. Paul based his instructions about prayer for everyone on his conviction that God's invitation extends equally to all people, as it says in John 3:16. The word everyone captures the nature of the gospel. The world that God loves includes everyone. He loves us as individuals whom He knows intimately. In James 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Through Christ, God has made it possible for us to go directly to God for forgiveness. Confessing our sins to each other still has an important place in the lives of a church. If we have sinned against an individual, we must ask him or her to forgive us. If our sin has affected the church, we must confess it publicly. If we need loving support as we struggle with sin, we should confess that sin to those who are able to provide that support to us. And if we doubt God's forgiveness, after confessing to Him, we may wish to confess that sin to a fellow believer for assurance in God's pardon. In Christ's kingdom, every believer is a priest to other believers. This is affirmed in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. In these verses, Paul urges us to pray for all people. Our earnest prayers will have powerful results. In verse 2, it says, pray for the way, that way for kings and all who are in authority, so that you can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by goodliness and dignity. We should pray for those in authority around the world so that their societies will be conducive to the spread of the good news. Paul's command to pray for kings is very remarkable, considering at the time the Roman Empire was under a ruthless, cruel world. When Paul wrote this letter, persecution was a real threat to believers. Not only were Christians denied certain privileges in society, some were even publicly butchered, burned, or fed to animals. I'll ask you, have you ever prayed for the leader of Russia? What about North Korea? What about China? What about Venezuela? Paul instructs us to do so. We should pray for these people that somehow their hearts would be opened and they can find the light instead of living in darkness. You know, right now this church, we're searching for a new full-time pastor to fill the pulpit. We all need to be praying for the pulpit committee that is working so hard to bring a minister to this church. They are the leaders in this endeavors for that church, so we should pray for them as Paul instructs. We should also be praying to God that he will send us the right minister. In a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, it isn't enough to talk about peace. One must believe in it. And it isn't enough to believe in it. One must work at it. And Ronald Reagan once said, peace is not absent of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict in peaceful means. Doesn't the gospel instruct us to live in peace? In Timothy 2:4, it says, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Both Peter and Paul, in their writings, said that God wants everyone to be saved. This doesn't mean that all will be saved, because the Bible makes it clear that many will reject Christ. Now imagine for a minute, let's say you're an Olympic champion swimmer. Well, you come up on this little lake and there's a boat capsized and sinking out in the middle. And there are 10 people floundering around in the water. One of them hollers out, none of us can swim, save us. So you jump in the water to rescue them, knowing that you probably won't be able to save them all. When God made man, he probably knew not all would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. In John 12:44-46, then Jesus cried out, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Moving on to verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man of Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. the testimony given in its proper time. A lot of people think that there's many ways to God, but in reality, each person must choose a single way. There are many bridges that span the Solomon River down here. When we travel, we must choose which bridge would be the right bridge for us to get to the other side to where we're going. We human beings are separated by God by sin, and we need a Savior. A way across the river of sin and back to God. Only one person in the universe is our mediator and can stand between us and God and bring us together again. And that person is Jesus, who is both God and man. Jesus' sacrifice brought new life to all people. Have you let him bridge the gap between you and God? In verse 7, Timothy goes on and talks about he has been assigned by God to be a preacher and apostle. And a special privilege was granted to him by the Lord to announce the good news to the Gentiles. And if you want to read a little more about that, that can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 7 to 11. Now, the last verse we'll be looking at today is verse 8a. I want man everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or dispute. Paul was writing this letter to counsel and encourage him. Timothy was a leader in the church of Ephesus. As a young minister, Timothy faced all sorts of pressures, conflicts, and challenges from the church and the surrounding culture. Paul was trying to encourage Timothy to be more persuasive in his message to them to quit squabbling and devote more time to prayer. Anger and controversy displeases God, making prayer difficult. This is why Jesus said that we should interrupt our prayers if necessary to make peace with others. In Matthew 23, chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. To reconcile with God, you must first reconcile with your brother. Broken relationships can hinder our relationship with God. If we have a problem or a grievance with a friend, we should resolve that problem as soon as possible. We are hypocrites if we claim to love God while we hate others. Our attitudes toward others reflect our relationship with God. It is easy to say we love God when it doesn't cost us any more than a weekly attendance at a religious service. But the real test for our love is how we treat the people right in front of us, our family, and our fellow believers. Caring for the family of believers demonstrates our Christ-like attitude and exhibits genuine love to non-believers. We cannot truly love God while neglecting to love those who are created in His image. In closing, I'd like to leave you with a little bit of something to think about. You know, we need to find that right bridge to God. And that bridge is the one that is built through Jesus Christ. And we must be wary to the many temptations and trivial arguments that can get us sidetracked. And when we pray, Paul instructs us to pray in peace and without anger or conflict. I'll leave you with one final thought this morning. If your day is hemmed in by prayer, it is less likely to unravel. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone sitting in the pews today. And those who are at home a little worried to get out on the roads today, it is so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, surrounded by fellow believers. Help us to lift the spirits of those who are in need of care and kindness. It is your love for us that allows us to love others. May we heed Paul's instructions and pray for everyone, not only ourselves, but for others. Most of all, we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who bridges the gap between man and God. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.